Scripture reading once again this morning comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. As a congregation, we have been going through the book of Exodus, and we have worked our way all the way to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, I will be reading verses 40 through 51. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt on this night, all the other Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "These are the regulations for the Passover. No foreigner is to eat of it. Any slave you have bought may eat of it until after you have circumcised him, but a temporary resident and a hired worker may not eat of it. It must be eaten inside one house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of it. The same law applies to the native-born and to the alien living among you." All the Israelites did just what the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And on that very day, the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. That's the reading of God's word this morning. Excuse me. Once again this morning, we begin by looking at the liberals. Most liberal scholars, when they look at these verses at the end of Exodus 12, come to the conclusion that these verses are sloppy work. They don't believe that Moses wrote the book of Exodus. They believe that someone called a redactor put these chapters and this book of Exodus together during the time of the kings, much later than the actual period of the Exodus. And as that person took all these little pieces of the book that he found, and as he put them together, he came up with these verses at the end of chapter 12, and he didn't know what to do with them. He had some extra. So they take the position that that this redactor took these extra verses and just stuck them here. That they're not put in any kind of order, that these verses are simply placed here as extras to the end of the chapter that he thought should be included and he didn't want to eliminate, so he put them here. They look at verse 40 and they say, here is a list of the years that they were in Egypt. Fine. Verse 42, we read about a vigil. Then we read some information about circumcision and so forth. And then at the end, just some more summary verses. They conclude that these verses are just put here simply because they're extras. They had to stick them somewhere. So let's put them at the end of chapter 12. But as conservative Christians who believe that Moses wrote this particular book, who believe that God inspired Moses' hand to write these verses, we believe that God has placed these verses here for an important reason. That these verses indicate and teach to us something important that God wants us to know as we end this chapter, as we end this story of the Exodus from Egypt and the Passover. There is something yet that God has to conclude. There is a message that His people and future generations need to know and need to remember and need to focus on. And the question this morning is, what is that message? If we approached this text from a dispensationalist position, we wouldn't recognize this message. A dispensationalist is one who claims that there are different covenants in Scripture and that the covenants have nothing to do with each other. What happened in Abraham's life has nothing to do with what happened to the Israelites in Egypt. What happened to the Israelites in Egypt and God's promises there have nothing to do with the promises which would later on come in the gospel era. But from a covenant perspective, we see that God has a message that he wants the Israelites to see. And that message is that his covenant that he made with Abraham is closely tied to this new covenant and this new salvation that he is bringing upon the Israelites. At the end of this chapter, God is tying the Passover, the deliverance that he has given the Israelites from Egypt, in with the covenant that God made with Abraham. These verses tell us this in three important ways. First, verses 40 and 41. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of the 430 years to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Now, so far in the book of Exodus, Moses has given us no indication of the amount of years that things lasted. Even when Moses ran away to the land of Midian, and he left the Israelites as they were in Egypt, and he met God at the burning bush and returned to the land of Egypt, Exodus does not tell us that that was 40 years. We learn that later on from Stephen's speech. But now, all of a sudden, in Exodus chapter 12, we have verses here telling us about a time period, telling us how long Israel was in Egypt, how long that they lived there, how long their slavery was. Why? Turn back to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis chapter 15, God is making his covenant with Abraham. And after he promises Abraham that he will make a great nation out of him, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, we read in Genesis 15, verse 12, that as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possession." In Exodus chapter 12, God is reminding them of his covenant with Abraham. As we're reading through the book of Exodus, and suddenly we come upon this figure of 430 years, we remember that was God's promise to Abraham. In that covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 15, God promised Abraham that in 400 years Israel would be suffering from slavery, and after 400 years they would be delivered from the land. Now in Exodus 12, we are reminded of these figures. We begin to see a connection. Figures haven't been given. Numbers and years haven't been given in the book of Exodus. Now, all of a sudden, we read of these numbers and we are reminded of God's covenant with Abraham. But if that were the only connection in our text, we might say to ourselves, well, yeah, that's true. But how do we know for sure that these verses are connecting us with Abraham and his covenant? Well, look at verse 48. An alien living among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his household circumcised. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat of the Passover. When we think of circumcision, we think of Abraham. It was Abraham that God first gave the sign of circumcision. It was Abraham who was commanded by God to circumcise his sons, so that they would be identified with him and his descendants, and that they would be identified with God's covenant, that they no longer would be common people, aliens representing who knows what nation, but that as a covenant, as a sign of this covenant, the males would be circumcised as a representation of the cutting off of life, the cutting off of their old lifestyle, of their living in this foreign land and this foreign world as aliens. But their old life would be left behind, and they as a family, as children, as fathers, they would belong to this covenant family of Abraham and later of Israel. Well, now in Exodus 12, again we read at the end of this chapter about circumcision. That those who want to taste and enjoy this Passover meal, those who want to identify with the salvation that God has brought to Israel as they are walking out of the land of Egypt, if they want to identify, if they want to taste of that Passover lamb, they must be circumcised. They must be connected with the covenant that God made to Abraham. God made that covenant with Abraham. God promised Abraham that his descendants would live in the land of Egypt, that his descendants would be rescued after 430 years, and that his descendants, God commanded Abraham, would be circumcised. They would be different from aliens, different from the world. They would belong to this covenant. And as Israel walks out of this land, they must be connected with this covenant that God made with Abraham, because this is the same covenant. This is God's plan for salvation. But there's one more connection. We read again in verse 48 that an alien may take part in the Lord's Passover. That if the alien is circumcised, he also may enjoy the Passover and celebrate this with the Israelites. In verse 38 of Exodus 12, we read that coming out of Egypt were many other people. Some of you have in your text, a mixed multitude of people came up out of Egypt. Those who left the land of Egypt were not simply native-born Israelites, but our text is indicating to us that they were also aliens. They were also those who were not born of Abraham's descendants from the genetic line, but that there were those from other nations, other peoples, who also lived and took part in this salvation. And in Genesis chapter 17, part of the covenant God makes with Abraham, he tells him this in verse 4. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. When God made his covenant with Abraham, he was promising hope for Abraham's descendants and Abraham's peoples. But God also promised Abraham in that covenant that his life, his descendants, would be a blessing to the nations. Not just for his genetic line, but that other nations and other peoples would also be blessed. And as we look at these verses at the end of chapter 12, we see this connection being made. Not only is the circumcision, not only is the Passover for the Israelites, but it is also for the mixed multitude. Those who have come out with the Israelites out of the land. They also can be part of this covenant. They also may taste of this Passover. Look at verse 49. This same law applies to the native born and to the alien living among you. This nation that walked out of Israel is not distinguished simply by bloodlines, but this nation has become a spiritual nation. If you are circumcised, the text is telling us, you also can be considered an Israelite. You also can be considered one of God's people. You, as an alien, a foreigner, are no longer considered an alien. But you may take part of the grace that God is giving these people in the Passover. They may taste of the land. They may cut off the old life of slavery living in the land of Egypt and may come out and live and take part of the new life that God is giving Israel and that God is giving His people. At the end of this chapter, God is connecting these two covenants together. They are not different covenants. The covenant of Abraham has a whole lot to do with the Passover. And as we have gone through Exodus chapter 12, we have read about the regulations for the Passover, the regulations for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Last week we learned of the actual deliverance. But there's one more thing that God wants the Israelites and that God wants you all to see. That this Passover is very, very closely connected and interweaved with God's covenant that He made long ago with Abraham and God's promise of grace for His people for generations to come. If Abraham understood or knew about this Passover lamb, he wouldn't know what it was about. Abraham in his day and in that covenant knew about circumcision. He knew about God's promise, but he didn't know how it came about. Now we have read of the fulfillment of that promise. God was going to bring His grace. God was going to bring His salvation through a Passover lamb, through blood which was poured out to protect His people from the wrath which was due them for their sins. In Exodus 12, God is revealing something new that those who read through the Scriptures and start in Genesis and go through Exodus haven't read before. That closely connected with Abraham's covenant is this Passover lamb. But at the same time, if you were an Israelite and you had experienced the Passover and you didn't know anything about Abraham and his covenant, you'd also be missing it. You would know about a lamb. You would know all about being saved from this land of slavery where you were oppressed and your life was miserable. But you also need to know, and you also need to be reminded that this is God's plan. That as God's covenant is made, He hasn't done this just for anyone. He has saved these people because they belong to a covenant, because He has made His promise with Abraham, and God keeps His promises. But this isn't the only covenant that Exodus 12 is connected to. Look at verse 46. The Passover meal must be eaten inside one house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. The last phrase tells us, do not break any of the bones. The liberals would say, well, here's a little phrase they didn't know what to do with, so they just stuck it here. But why would God include this in this section at this time? Nowhere else in the regulations for the Passover in chapter 12 have we read that bones aren't to be broken. But now God has placed it here. God is also connecting these verses with a greater covenant, with the one who has fulfilled both the covenant with Abraham and the covenant with Moses and with Israel. Turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, the Jews have just celebrated the Passover. Jesus has gone to the cross. He has been sacrificed. And in verse 31 we read, now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, and they found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and of water. Verse 36. These things happened so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones would be broken. And as other scriptures say, they will look on the one they have pierced. The lamb that was to be the Passover lamb was to be a perfect, unblemished lamb. It was not to be damaged. Its bones were not to be broken. And later on, when the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and fulfilled the Passover lamb, who was the greater lamb, who brings true salvation to God's people, his legs, his bones were not to be broken. In Exodus 12, the author has included that verse, that phrase, for a reason. Because as we understand the covenant with Abraham, as we understand what happened at the Passover, we are not to forget the fulfillment of those covenants. For it is God, through his Son, who fulfilled those covenants and truly brings salvation to his people. This salvation that has come from Exodus is only a preview of a greater salvation that God has for his people and that God will save his people from. As Israel leaves Egypt, they may be thankful that they are not in slavery anymore and they are not oppressed. But if God does not add these verses at the end of Exodus chapter 12, it may stop there. But these verses connect them with God's plan, with what God has been doing from the foundation of the world, with God's plan to save his people through a Passover lamb who would be and who is his Son. And as we sit here this morning, we are also called to identify with that covenant and with that grace. for we are not Jews. We are not connected to Abraham by bloodlines. But we are connected to this covenant by the circumcision of his son, which has come upon our hearts. Turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised. In the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith and in the power of God who raised him from the dead. In the Old Testament, they were circumcised. God requires that anyone who is to partake of the Passover lamb, they are to be circumcised, and even aliens who are circumcised can taste and enjoy this salvation. In the New Testament, your circumcision, your cutting off of your old life and of your sins is done by Christ. And verse 12 tells us that having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead, your baptism, your cutting off of your sin, the identification with a new community and a new people, is what enables you to take part in this covenant and in this new life. And as we have looked at Exodus 12, we have seen the supernatural work of this covenant. For it was Israel at the beginning of the chapter who multiplied and became a great nation living there. And now we read that it isn't just through bloodlines, but through circumcision that the Israelites could enjoy and take part. And as we identify with this covenant, with this new life, it is also a supernatural work. Verse 13 of Corinthians 2, or Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. God's salvation comes to us through the fulfillment of his covenant, through his Son, who has changed our hearts, through his work, through his death on the cross. And it is he who gives us this new life. It is he who qualifies us as aliens to be enabled to identify, to share in this deliverance from sin, to taste of the Passover lamb. And so this morning, as you know this, as you think about this, how is your circumcision? How is your cutting off of this old life and being born and living in this new life? Are you living as one whom God has changed, whom God has saved? Have you buried your old nature and your old sins in your baptism? And do you live as one who is raised with Christ? In Exodus 12, before the aliens could partake, they needed to do this. What about you? Amen. Father in heaven, what a joy it is for us to read of the fulfillment of your covenants. For Lord, this covenant you made with Abraham was also a covenant, Lord, that you made with us. For we, Lord, have taken part in the blessing that Abraham, who was the father of many nations, was promised. And Lord, we also know the Passover lamb in a greater way than the Israelites knew him. We know the true Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And as your people, Lord, help us to walk as those who are circumcised, as those who have buried our sins in our baptism, who are called to live as those who are raised as Christ has raised us. And we know, Lord, as we have just read, that if it was our own nature who was in charge, we would never do it. But through the power of your Son, you have changed our hearts. You have circumcised us. You have caused our hearts to no longer be enslaved to the sins which surround us, but you have given us freedom so that our hearts can and would embrace you and the Passover lamb. Lord, as your Son went to the cross and lived faithfully to you, help us as your people to live faithfully to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.